Father, we thank you, God, for this afternoon, Sunday afternoon, to again celebrate your resurrection day, for your people to come together to as your church to worship you, and Lord, to Lord, just be giving you thanks and praise, even for your love through our Lord Jesus Christ, how you have sent your Son, very only Son, to die for our sins, so that we might be Lord, just atone and forgiven for our sins, so that we may return to you, Jesus, return to you, God, so that we might be called your people. Thank you, Lord, for every Sunday that we may come together as your people and to hear your word and to be directed by you, to be shepherded by you. So, Lord, would you help us to have a teachable heart, a humble heart, a learner's heart as of a disciple, so that we might glorify you with our life as well. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay. All right. So that was a little technical difficulty, but here we are once again, Sunday. Not morning, afternoon. I hope to go to morning one of these days, do Sunday morning worship, but we'll see when that will be. I guess a Thanksgiving this week is our training center is progressing, but when the inspector came, they said that the building is too big and we need to install a sprinkler system, So, they had to get a sprinkler system contractor, and they installed it. They installed all the first floor at the beginning of the last week and the second floor at the end of the last week. And so that is done, and we're hoping for the inspector to return and give us a clearance so that they can go forth in finishing the building. So they're going to go with the roof first, and then the white wall, and so they're going to slowly be finishing the building after that. So pray that the next inspection will have no problem, but they would get the clearance. Yes, I want to affirm that a prayer request. Pray for the Shaws, Conrad and Chloe Shaw. They are actually, they're stranded here in America. Their home is in Mongolia. So they don't look to this place as a home, and they want to go back as soon as possible because their people, their church people are there. So they've been doing a pretty good job having program from here at nighttime, but they do want to go back and be there for them as well. So pray that they would be able to get a plane ticket at the beginning of next month. We're trying to get May 1st or 2nd. Is that? Oh, is it June? June 1st, June 2nd or 3rd. Yeah. And that they will receive the foreigners also at this point. So just pray for that. Okay, we are going to now continue in our message. Last week, we talked about our sovereign call for his redemptive work. And so this week, what we did was we've been working on our White Harvest Evangelical Church website. And can you believe it? Our website is on there. And our website is on there. And Ed and the team has been doing a great job getting things up and actually putting in a lot of content. So if you guys want to check it out, it's not official yet, but if you want to check it out, go to whiteharvestevangelical.org. whiteharvestevangelical.org. I think Albert purchased this site, and so then he passed it on to us. And so now we have some things in there. So, but anyway, while we are doing this, we have to think about, you know, how do we present our church at the beginning, our faith statement, our name, So I've been thinking about John 4, 34 and 35, especially more this week than in the past, because of the webpage, I was meditating on John 4, 34, 35 more deeply. And so I thought I would share this as part of our sovereign God who calls us, not only in the Old Testament, but here in the New Testament through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will talk about Christ's call, pretty much, Christ's call to the white harvest, Christ's call to the whites of the harvest. The scripture describes it as whites of the harvest. It says, do you not say there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look under the fields. They are white for harvest, white for harvest. So, normally I would share about my personal blessing regarding this passage, regarding how in the midst of my grad school, I was considering whether to go to Korea or not for a couple of years, and God used this passage, which was very time-sensitive passage. It's not later, but now kind of passage, and I would share that to share a personal testimony of this verse, but I think this passage is more than that, more than for Pastor Min back then, John 4:5. So I need to kind of share from a bigger perspective. And so this passage is in line with Jesus's other sayings. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Seek and save the lost. So, and we recite this before missions. Our mission is to worship God and seek and save the lost. Well, this comes from Jesus's expression. He, as the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which was lost. But another passage, Matthew 9:12 says, but when Jesus heard this, he says, it is not those who are healthy who needs a physician, but those who are sick. And so, actually, our graduate brothers went through studying Book of Mark, and this is what the Pharisees essentially said. You know, why do you go dine with the sinners, like tax collectors? And Jesus responded, saying, "It's not those who are healthy who needs a physician, but those who are sick." And so, you know, this is a context of healing or saving the Samaritan woman, and so she is a person who is sick. And Jesus came not to those people who think they're well, but to those people who definitely know that they're spiritually sick and physically. And another verse is, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And this is John chapter 3. So the context of this passage is from John chapter 3 and 4. And John chapter 3, when Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so this is when Nicodemus in chapter 3 came and came to Jesus. I see that you're a man of God. And otherwise, you know, if you are not, then you can't do all these amazing miracles. And so in response to that, Jesus says, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus is already seeing the soul of Nicodemus to see what is required for him to enter the kingdom. Not to be a religious teacher, to be recognized by teacher. And he came at nighttime, concerned about his reputation. And he says, it doesn't matter if you are a very reputable teacher among the Pharisees and the Jewish people, you need to be born again. So even in chapter 3, Jesus is already doing the work of saving souls. And come chapter 4, we see Jesus interacting with the Samaritan woman. And she was one who had five husbands, and the one she was living with was not her husband. And so, and Jesus knew everything about her and asked her, if you ask me, that I will give you a living water that would spring to eternal life. And so when you look at chapter 3 and chapter 4 with the Samaritan woman, now this is another incident when the Samaritan woman goes to the town Sychar and tells the men about Jesus, and the men are coming towards Jesus. Now Jesus is giving an analogy of, do not say until 4 months more than the harvest. So this is another object lesson. So whether it's chapter 3 with Nicodemus or with Samaritan woman or with these Samaritan men running towards him, this is an object lesson somehow for his disciples. Now, he wants to use these incidents, what he just lived out and have gone through, to save Nicodemus, potentially, and the Samaritan woman. And he wants to use these examples to somehow pass on a very important principle or truth or calling for his disciples. You know, Jesus normally teaches his followers with like stories and parables, and people would just sit around listening, like the Beatitude, the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew. So definitely Jesus teaches, giving stories and parables through the Sermon on the Mount. But what he does is also gives object lessons. He looks at the fig tree and gives a lesson. He looks at the temple, and then he said, if you tear it down, I will raise it up again in 3 days. So he looks at objects and also tries to give the disciples teaching. But in this case, he lived out his purpose. He, through the meeting of Nicodemus, he revealed what his life purpose is about. Through healing his encounter with the Samaritan woman and she becoming saved, he was revealing himself. So through these object lessons and the incidents that he just went through, Jesus also wants to reveal himself to his disciples, his compassion as the Messiah. Eventually, the Samaritan woman realized to reveal him to his disciple as his compassion as a Messiah, and his heart delight to do the Father's will. And then he, in this passage, we believe, is sharing his burden for saving souls. And through this passage, I believe he really wants to do a couple of things here, is that first, through these passages in the later part, after the encounters with Nicodemus and Samaritan woman and the Samaritan people coming towards him, he wanted to bless them with a spiritual eye, so that they can see the greater spiritual reality. So it's like, even now you can kind of test what your reality is. This morning when you woke up, getting ready for church and all that, so what was prominent in your mind? Whoop, another day. Gotta eat food. Whoop, COVID-19's around still. Whoop, stay home order. Whoop, well, we need to go to church. Okay, so basically, the disciples in that time, in their worldview, context of the worldview back then, they had a certain perspective. They were hungry. They need to get food. And they came back and they saw Jesus talking to a woman. They were thinking, what does he want? You know, and so, but there was no awareness to the greater spiritual reality for the disciples. So Jesus wanted to use these object lessons to reveal to them something that they could not see. So he wanted to awaken their eyes. And also, having done that, hopefully, to send them out to reap and join the mission that Jesus himself came for. So what we're going to do is today talk about 3 and 4. So 3 and 4 is through this passage of Jesus said, do you not say until 4 months more than the harvest? Do you not say until 4 months more than the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white for harvesting. So having already shared the message of the kingdom with Nicodemus, and also about living water with the Samaritan woman, and now seeing the Samaritan men coming towards him, you know, he was responding to the disciples. What was the disciples saying? Let's see. Let's have somebody read previous passages. Let's see, 33, 34, 35. Let's see. Let's have David. You shared Thanksgiving for Mother's Day. All right, so you can read for us. Why don't you read John 4, 33, 34, 35.
Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying?
Read for verse 33, 32 too.
Verse 32, but he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest.
So this is after Jesus finished talking with the woman, and I think they saw the woman conclude the conversation with him, but they were just coming back from the town. They went to get food because they were hungry, and they wanted to offer Jesus, have some food. And Jesus says, I have food that you don't know about. Well, did somebody bring food to Jesus? They were kind of wondering to themselves. And Jesus said, I have food that you do not know about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. And then says, do not say until there are 4 months more, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They are white for harvest. And so in this response, Jesus was responding to the disciples' excitement for food. Not strange. I mean, we all like food. How many of you like food? You know, we work here in the office, and on Thursdays for lunch, the VSET supports free lunch for the staff. So each staff gets $10 worth. And so the number of staff, I don't know if it's 4 staff, they got $40 worth of food. So they got really excited about what should we order. They go from this place to that place, and they're getting some good food. I just hope that they're as excited about saving souls. So, well, the disciples here were no different. They were really excited by food, and this is especially. It's most likely about December. The harvest is about middle of March, about 3 or 4 months away, 3 or 4 months away. And usually about that time, food are scarce. You know, the previous harvest is all eaten up and there's little left. And as it gets close to the harvest, actually there's little to no more food left. And so everybody goes hungry. And so when you're hungry, what do you look forward to? Say 4 months later, there's going to be harvest. So more food is coming. And in Jewish culture, when they harvest, they actually leave grains behind. So even the poor people could go and collect food and feed themselves. So everyone would be excited, including the disciples. So to the response of their excitement for a need for food, Jesus says, you know, lift up your eyes, look at the field. So this is a call to spiritual awakening for his disciples. And it is actually a spiritual awakening for us as well. You know, what is my eyes awakened to? Is it just food? Is it my career, my school, and what I see and what's going on? And, you know, or has our eyes of our heart awakened to the spiritual perspective, spiritual reality of what really is going on? So first, you know, Jesus really want to awaken the disciples to the need of the hour. What is the need of the hour? You know, and so what he is saying is the need of the hour is not food today and nor food 4 months later. You're excited for food today, and all you are talking about is 4 months later, there'll be more food. And their concern was more physical and regarding things that are more natural. But Jesus is trying to awaken the disciples to say, lift up your eye, open your spiritual eyes. Look at the need for soul harvest. So the need of the hour is not just what is maybe the governor would call it the essential business, essential things, right? They don't consider faith as an essential thing, so they didn't include us. But what the common people consider as essential, they might think that is the need of the hour. They need physical food. They need markets open. They need even liquor stores open. They even have cannabis is open, and they consider these things to be the essential thing, need of the hour. Well, for the disciple, of course, is just their excitement was for physical food, and Jesus is saying, don't just get excited for your natural needs, but you need to wake up, open up your eyes to the spiritual needs of the harvest, spiritual needs of the harvest. And so rather than saying, you know, great that we have food today and more food is coming 4 months later, you need to look at the spiritual harvest, the soul harvest, people who needs to be saved. And in order to affirm this in his life, to teach them by life example, he already had a conversation with Nicodemus and said, you need to be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And so he addressed the very issue that Nicodemus was struggling with. And in meeting the Samaritan woman, he said, where's your husband? And he went directly to her real idolatry issue of marriage and men and her own need. And the Lord directed her to a worship that is of spirit and truth. And in the process, the woman realized, could he be the Messiah? And so she, I believe, was pretty much saved. So Jesus saved a Samaritan woman, And then Samaritan woman went all the way to town and told everybody, and men were running after, coming towards Jesus. And so by example, while the disciples were going after food, Jesus's food was to do the will of God. And the will of God is the need of the hour, saving souls. Jesus, this definitely revealed Jesus's burden for souls, burden for souls. So the spiritual awakening is related to, is about the readiness and ripeness of the soul harvest. If the need of the hour is not the secular or just natural things that we need and the natural things we pursue, and the spiritual harvest is what is the need of the hour. But what else do we need to realize? That this harvest is ripe and ready for plucking. The souls of men and women are said to be ripe and ready, ripe and ready. So the word white for harvest is another way it's put in NIV is it says ripe for harvest. So they translate it white to be ripe. So I guess when the wheat grows and they kind of like tilt because they're pretty ripe, I'm not sure if they turn white. I am not a farmer, so I don't know, but they seem kind of yellow to me though. The harvest is kind of yellow. If you type in harvest, they're all like the wheat, that's wheat harvest. They're all tilted, but then it's still kind of yellowish. So they're saying this description of white for harvest is a couple of things. One is it describes the ripeness of the harvest, ripeness of the harvest. But some believe this. The Samaritan men were running towards Jesus through the wheat, you know, because he was looking at a harvest field, definitely. So there was a harvest field. But there were Samaritan men running towards him. Perhaps the Samaritan men were wearing white. So Jesus may be describing the ripeness along with the Samaritan men coming, how ripe they are to wanting to be saved. How ripe they are wanting to know the Messiah. But in any case, the souls of people and harvesting and saving souls is the need of the hour. But the condition of the souls are essentially ripe. They're ready for harvesting. And why are they ripe? Because their souls are in need of God. All souls separated from God, whether they believe it or not, or they feel it or not, they are all in need of God. And they're all in need of salvation. Need of salvation. But also it says, as you read below, one sows and other reaps. I send you to reap for which you have not labor. Others have labor, so you have entered into his labor. Essentially, it's because the gospel has been already sown in the past by the prophets. And also through Jesus Christ, by his death and resurrection and his message, the gospel has been sown in people. Anybody who wants to go to the temple back in those days, and anybody who chooses to read the Old Testament, you know, they're being sown with the truth that was spoken through the prophet. So this is a perspective of Ryrie. Ryrie believes that how is the gospel already sown in the past? is essentially mostly by the prophets, men of God who spoke by the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus Christ, Jesus himself coming, and then he himself having fallen to the ground and died and resurrected by his death, his crucifixion, death, and resurrection, the gospel has been fully sown. So, from Jesus's perspective, essentially all souls at this point are in a ripe condition. They're ready to be reaped. So when somebody say, oh, UCLA is so hard, you know, I've been sharing the gospel, nobody's coming to Christ. Oh, USC is so hard, you know. Oh, Mongolia is so hard, or even Turkey is so hard. I don't believe them. I don't believe them because souls of men are ripe for Christ's salvation. All souls of men are ripe for Christ's salvation. So the condition of people's soul are all in the ripe condition. So in fact, when Jesus came to Nicodemus or Samaritan women, even though they had their own defensive walls, but if the moment they kind of opened up and accepted Jesus, there was something majorly different. And even hearing from the Samaritan woman, the Samaritan men were excited. They wanted to hear and see if this person really was the Messiah. So souls are hungry to find Messiah. Maybe they're not literally waiting for Messiah. Jewish people are still waiting for Messiah. Non-Christians may not be waiting for Messiah, but their soul is needing the Messiah. Their soul is needing the Savior. Their soul is needing a spiritual regeneration. They're needing a life of a new life in Christ. They're needing sanctification. They're needing a living hope that they will be resurrected when they die, a hope of eternal life. They're all hungry. Their soul is in need for these blessings. So they are ready. The problem is, are we awakened to see that? Is the eyes of our hearts, are we awakened to see the need of the hour and see the readiness and the ripeness of the soul? And then it's also, this passage is to describe the plentifulness of the soul. So it's not just one Nicodemus, two, second one is Samaritan woman. But the many men who are running to Jesus, and I compare that with the harvest, the many grains, the comparison is souls of men are as numerous as the harvest, plentiful. And we have many verses related to that, right? Let's read Luke 10:37. That's similar to Matthew 9:35 through 38, you know. But this one is more in the context of Jesus calling the 72. So Ed, can you read Luke 10:37 for us?
Luke 10:37, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on
him. Was it 10:37? No, that's not. Okay, wait a minute. No, actually, it's at the beginning of Luke. Harvest is plentiful. Workers, a few. Yeah, beginning of Luke 10. Which one is that? 10:2. Okay. Good job. Yvonne shouted from the other room. Okay, go ahead. 10:2.
Luke 10, verse 2. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.
Behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, no greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, say first, peace be peace to this house. If the man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. So this Luke 10 is in the context of Jesus having invited the 72. People responded to some of these lordship challenges. And they were about to be sent out. And Jesus himself was saying, the harvest is plentiful. Harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so he invites, even beseech the Lord of the harvest, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out more workers into his harvest field. Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful. And it's requiring a lot of workers, but the workers are few. So can you do anything about it? We definitely can't do much about it except to respond with our own lives. But Jesus is saying the harvest is plentiful, and yet the workers are few. So he is acknowledging the work is enormous, and there's not enough workers ready to go out. So since you're not the one, I mean, I can make workers. I mean, I can be available to be a worker, but I cannot make more workers. So then Jesus himself says, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. So that's another way we can participate and respond to the plentifulness of the soul harvest. According to Jesus, there's so much work to be done. America is full of Christian things going on, Christian radios, Christian television, and oh my goodness, Christian activity. But is there still more harvest to reap? What do you think? There's still room for the gospel to be preached on campus at USC, UCLA, Rutgers? You know, there, even though there's Christianity has been around for a long time, and they have the gospel at their disposal, just turn on the TV and they got, you know, televangelists preaching, great people. But still, when you go around sharing the gospel, they really don't know the gospel. There's still plenty of need here in America. But obviously in China, there's even more. They said about 10% of Chinese people are Christian, but there's 90%. That's like, how many billion is that still? 1 billion plus are unreached still with the gospel. Turkey is like, you know, 70 million people there. And it's like, I don't know how many percent is very less than 1%. Kind of like Japan. Japan is even less. So there's so much people in need of the gospel. The need of the hour is souls of people. These souls of people are ready and ripe, and there are so many of them. And so much that the workers are lacking. Workers lacking. And so Jesus says in response to this, in this verse in chapter 10, pray to the Lord of the harvest. When we come to the limit of what we can do, we start praying, asking God to do the work. This verse also, you know, talks about the urgency of the harvest for reaping. Urgency of the harvest. You know, the urgency is very urgent because if you don't do it, carry out the harvest, the reaping or the harvesting in a timely manner, you know, you could miss the opportunity. You could miss the opportunity. I heard this from somebody who knew about farming in the Midwest in America. And they said that whenever the harvest is ready, they need to be quick to harvest it. Because if the harvest is ready and then they get a storm, they could completely destroy the harvest. The storm could completely destroy the harvest. And so what they do is they have harvesters or reapers. So they kind of hire, these are seasonal workers. So say, hi, our farm needs to harvest our crop now, quickly. So who's available, and they bring a team of harvesters, reapers, and they just reap their harvest in a day or two, or at most a week. I don't think a week, but it's just in a few days they just kind of completely harvest their crop. And then another farm would need them, and so these harvest workers would go from here to there to there. They're kind of like apostolic. They're apostolic reapers. They go and harvest in this farm, that farm, and they're very busy in this season. I'm sure they make a lot of money too. But the need is, when the harvest is ripe for harvesting, it's time sensitive. It's time sensitive. It needs to be done now, or the opportunity could be missed. Is there a verse? Where's the verse that says, the night is coming, work as long as it is day? Okay, let's read that verse together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Okay, go ahead and read.
John 11, verse 9. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, that he has no light."
Mm-hmm. So did it say work while it's day?
Oh, sorry, that's John 8.
Okay, John 8. 9:4. As long as it
is day, when the
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's read that together. John 9:4. Everybody read that together. John 9:4.
As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9:4 and 5.
That's right. So there's a saying of Jesus that work while it's daytime. But finally, let's, on this Matthew 24:14, let's read that one together. We talked about the end time signs, right? End time sign. And this is one of the sign of end time, Matthew 24:14.
Mm-hmm. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
Okay, ready? We'll read it together. Ready? 14. Ready? Go.
This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come.
So, this is the end time, one of the end time signs where the gospel will be preached to all nations. And then the end time come. In Revelation, what did Jesus say about his coming? I am coming soon. So if you combine those verses, at the end time, the gospel will be preached to all nations, and the end time is coming soon. That means we need to preach the gospel soon, because Jesus is coming soon. So there's an urgency of the call here in this passage, also in Matthew 24:14, and also the fact that Jesus is coming soon, there's an urgency of the harvest for reaping now. Now versus later. Now versus later. So I think the first statement, do you not say until 4 months more later? Don't say it's 4 months later. We have plenty of time to even preach the gospel, but the time is now. Time is now for a soul harvest for us to go and reap. So I just kind of meditated. Perhaps this is what this passage is trying to communicate. Or Jesus is communicating this to us through this passage. Do not say there are 4 months more, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, that they are white for harvest. So Jesus is trying to awaken us, to help us to have a spiritual eyes to see the present condition, present need of souls needing to be reaped, and how ready they are, how plentiful they are, and how this task is urgent, is now. Well, if that is the call to spiritual awakening, the fourth thing I was saying is this is a spiritual call to reap and labor in the harvest. It is also calling for us. This is a general call for all disciples of Christ. If you are a believer in Christ, then this is a call for you. Jesus, having evangelized to Nicodemus, saving Samaritan woman, and having about to save the Samaritan men, and saying that the spiritual harvest is so ripe, and so Jesus is calling his disciple to go reap in the harvest. This is a call to the Great Commission, similar to Matthew 28:19-20. So we call Matthew 28 a Great Commission, and so we kind of highly elevate that, which is good, but that was not the only time Jesus made the Great Commission. I would say the three main things that I see related to the Great Commission is Matthew 4:19. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. That is part of the Great Commission, right? I will make you fishers of men. Even from the very beginning of calling, you know, Andrew, Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. In calling them, they said, I will make you fishers of men. So Jesus, even with the call to believe and trust in him and to follow him, to learn from him, he already had a call to say, if you follow me, you're going to be fishers of men. You're going to be participating in the Great Commission of saving souls, because they are ripe for harvesting. They're so plentiful, and it is so urgent to save souls. This is heart of Christ. So that was the Matthew 4:19, maybe the first. This passage right here, when Jesus sends us, it's pretty clear here. Let's go ahead to that verse in John. Why is my thing kind of blocked? Oh, here it is. Okay. John chapter 4. Look at the latter section, verse 38. Let's read that together. Verse 38. Ready? Get set? Go. Yes. So Jesus is commissioning the disciples now, after having shown them what it means to save soul with Nicodemus and Samaritan woman and the Samaritan men. He then tells the disciples, I send you to reap that for which you have not labored. It's a clear commissioning command to the disciples, even before Matthew 28:19-20. So this is I would say the mid call, you know, the beginning call is Matthew 4:19. This is sometime in the middle of his ministry. He's already calling his disciples, saying, I send you to reap. I send you to reap. So this makes all believers the sent one. You know what's another word for sent? Apostle. Apostle means sent. Little a apostle mean sent. So actually, these 12 are called the official office of apostle, and there's no more of them because they all died. But then there's a gift of apostle, those who are sent. Apostle Paul was an apostle, and other people who seeming to be able to do pioneer ministry are called apostles. But actually, the meaning of apostle is just sent one. one who is sent. Well, Jesus sends us to say, go, I send you to reap that which you have not labored. Others have labored. You have entered into their labor. The benefit of this is you know, says in verse 36, already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life. So anybody who is reaping, they are already gathering fruit for eternal life. So if any one of us are already in the harvest, preaching the gospel, saving souls, we are reaping fruit for eternal life. We're reaping people who would be blessed with eternal life. So Jesus is praising, you know, it's a blessing to be part of this reaping, to be gaining fruit for eternal life. And because we were sent to do that. I sent you to reap that for which you have not labor, others have labor, and you have entered into their labor. So this passage of John 4:35 is a call to spiritual awakening, to the need of the hour, readiness and the ripeness of soul harvest, plentiful of the soul, and the urgency of the harvest for reaping. But it is also a call for us to reap and labor in the harvest. Because this is a general calling for his disciples. This is a call of the Great Commission, and this makes all believers the sent one, according to John 4:38. Now, if this is what Jesus is burdened for souls, led him to do, this, you know, Jesus' burden for soul led him to, you know, call the disciples to awaken them and to this call of reaping and laboring. If that's burden for soul, 2B that I talked about at the beginning, this is about Jesus' heart satisfaction in doing the Father's will. You know, Jesus said in verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So like, this is more than just the mission that he should accomplish. You know, sometimes we get into like accomplishing mission. I have a mission. I did it. I'm pretty awesome because I finished or completed it. So we could get high about the mission, but what Jesus was really high about is that this mission is the will of God, will of the Father. So even though the disciples' food and satisfaction and joy is like, we got food, and so they were excited, but Jesus is, I got souls. You know, a Samaritan woman just got saved. And look at all these Samaritan men coming. Jesus is excited about making the will of God and accomplishing the will of God his food, his greatest satisfaction, greatest satisfaction. So not only is it an awakening for us, not only is it a call for us, but Jesus really wants us to accomplishing the will of God and his work, our true food, our soul satisfaction. I have some questions for you to see whether you have the kind of heart that Jesus has of making the work of God and the will of God your satisfaction. Let's see if you can answer this. I didn't put it in a, I didn't put it in a quiz for. Does your delight come more from seeing souls come to Christ or going to a buffet? So do you get excited about people coming to Christ more than when you get delighted about going to a buffet? Okay, well, that's a pretty competitive idea. I like going to buffet just to get the most of the money or whatever, but you could actually get be gluttonous, right? But before you go to buffet, you get really like excited about the possibility of food, right? But that is exciting, you know? But you get more excited about souls coming to Christ. Well, if you get more excited about souls coming to Christ, then you have Christ's heart. Are you more satisfied with doing God's will and serving God? Or being more successful in your school and in your career advancement? Are you more satisfied doing God's will and His work? Or serving His work, serving Him?
Nice.
Just
pick up for the letters first, and you can read the book,
right? That's Chloe. I could hear Chloe.
Oh, whoops! Sorry.
That's okay. That's a comic break. So, but anyway, the point is, you know, is your food more about doing the work of God or the will of Him? Or about, the earthly things, the things that, you know, natural things. It's not a wrong, it's not wrong, but we're, you know, Jesus, for Him, even more than physical food and other things He can do, He considered the will of God and His work. Soul satisfaction, something that really satisfied Him more than earthly pleasures. Anyway, this is something I believe Jesus wanted to convey, reveal to His disciples, and also He wants to do that with us. He wants to awaken us to the need of the hour and the ripeness, the plentifulness, the urgency of the reaping. But He also wanted to show us His heart. How His heart is more satisfied in doing the Father's will. And He's also actually calling us to have such a heart because we are called to be like Jesus. Well, wherever we are, you know, let's ponder and see where we are. And thank God for how you've grown thus far. But if there's ways that you could grow more, let's pray. Call out in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I do. I am aware. I'm awakened, but I'm lacking heart. Maybe, Lord, would you give me your heart? That I would have a heart that would delight in making your will and your work, my spiritual food, more important than other stuff. So, you know, we could always come and pray to God. So anyway, this is the reason why. Because I was awakened in my younger days, and I have been since then. And when we came to start a church, the thing that came to my mind, actually, I was meditating on what should I call the church. I was on my way overseas, and White Harvest Evangelical Church came to mind. So this is why our church is called WEC, right? But it's not based on my experience. But it's based on this scripture, what Jesus was already done to awaken the disciples and call the disciples to such a heart. That's something God privileged me to be a part of. And I wish that all our brothers and sisters would be awakened, spiritually awakened, and to take on Christ's heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. Just to refocus on our call to the White Harvest, and Lord, just from teaching us through John chapter 3 and 4, how you demonstrated this lifestyle of enjoying doing your will and enjoying reaping in the harvest by just your encounters with Nicodemus and Samaritan and the Samaritan men, and countless more thereafter. Lord, as you've taught the disciples then, and you call us to do the same now. So would you, by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, move our hearts to be shaped according to your calling. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.